The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Book of Luke, chapter number 8. Luke, chapter number 8. And it is nice to see the sunshine. Amen. Luke, chapter number 8. All right. Luke, chapter number 8. We're going to begin reading in verse number 26 to get the context of everything that's going on. But we're going to focus primarily on just a couple of verses. But Luke 8, verse number 26 is where we'll begin reading. All right. Luke 8, 26 says, "Then they sailed to the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into a boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, 'Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.' And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this time that we can come and meet in your house and study your word. And Father, I just ask that you would meet with us here this morning. Father, that there wouldn't be any distractions, anything that would take away from what you want to do in this service. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as we look at this passage, this account of Jesus as he, you know, comes in contact with this man of the Gadarenes, this man that was possessed of demons, and we've seen the miracle before. We've studied that and looked at the miracle that Jesus performed, and also it's interesting to note the people's response to the miracle. When they came and they saw the man, you know, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they're worried about their livelihood. You know, they're worried about what had happened to the pigs. And yes, that was a way that, you know, people were making a living. But this man's soul, this man's life, you know, we would look at that and say, wasn't it much more valuable than the cost of those swine? But we see what had taken place. We see that the people were fearful of Jesus, and they pushed him along. They wanted him to get back in the boat. They wanted Jesus to go on. But I wanted us this morning, as we look at this passage, to focus in on verses 38 and following, and specifically, I just wanted us to take a few moments to see the example of this man that was sitting at Jesus' feet, because it says that he was sitting clothed in his right mind. This man, you know, he had for years, for this time in his life, he had been you know, wandering around out of his mind, literally. He had no control. He was possessed of these demons. And now we look at verse number 38, and it tells us that when Jesus was going away, he begged that he might be with him. The man, he had had this experience with Jesus, where he had been, you know, a slave to what was going on within himself. Jesus comes. Jesus tells the demons to depart. The man is healed. The man can think rationally. The man is free from that situation. And it would make sense that he would want to follow Jesus. The children's corner this morning, as you know, as they were talking about the disciples, Jesus, early in his ministry, he goes and he finds men, fishermen, some others. He finds them doing what they're doing, and he says, hey, stop what you're doing and follow me. And the disciples and these, you know, that followed Jesus and some others, even crowds sometimes that would, for a little ways, follow Jesus to see what he would do, to hear his teaching, and to see miracles. And it makes sense that this man that had been possessed and now is made whole, he's now healed, it makes sense that he would want to follow Jesus. And sometimes we think about following Jesus like the disciples and say, man, that was asking a lot for them to uproot their lives and to leave home, to leave their occupation, to leave the fishing boats and to follow Jesus. But you think about this man's situation was a lot different. And he begged that he could follow Jesus, that he could go with Jesus. And if we think about that for a minute, that might have actually been an easier thing for him to do. With his past and with his reputation and with the things that he had done, by his decisions or by the decisions of the demons that had possessed him, what he was known for, it may have been easier for him to say, hey, let me follow the man that just healed me and let me get on down the road and, you know, start over, you know, in a new place where not everyone knows my background. And he begged to follow Jesus. As we think about being followers of Christ, our good works don't save us. Only Jesus saves us. But it's concerning to us when a person, you know, claims to be a follower of Christ, claims to make a profession of faith in Christ, yet they show no true desire to follow Christ. Just to say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, but you have no desire to do the things that Jesus says to do. You have no desire to actually follow him. This man, we see a changed life, not just that he's no longer possessed, but he wants to follow Jesus. He doesn't just want to stop what he was doing, but he wants to start something new. He wants to be a follower of Christ. And we talk about following Jesus, we speak of that in a spiritual sense. You know, follow his teachings, follow his commands, follow the instructions that he gives us in his word. But for this man, it was quite literal. He wanted to physically follow Jesus. The boat was about to leave, and he's begging, let me get on the boat. Let me go with you. He wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus was unlike other Jewish leaders of the day. Jesus was willing to come to a place of demons, a place, you know, that others would have said, hey, let's stay away from that area, a Gentile city. And, you know, others would have said, hey, let's avoid the whole thing. Let's just stay away from all that mess. But Jesus came through, and not only that, he took time to speak with and to minister to this man. And leaving and starting over a new place, it might have seemed like a good idea for this man, knowing with everyone around, knowing his former lifestyle. But Jesus, he responds to him in verse number 39. It says, to return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. You know, sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus and here's how I want it to go. I'm going to follow Jesus and this is what I want to do for Jesus. And we tell Jesus our plans and Jesus says, okay, I want you to do this instead. And if we're truly following Jesus, we're going to do what he says, not what we thought it would look like. We have to be willing to adjust our way to his instruction. The easier path, I think, for this man would have been to have left everything and followed Jesus. But Jesus doesn't always call us to an easy path. It's a lie that we're being told in our culture today. Within Christianity today, there's a lie that we're being told. Hey, just come to Jesus. He doesn't require much. It's really simple. You don't have to do anything. Just come, you know, and just be part of our church, and you'll be good, and you'll go to heaven, and it's really easy. Just sit back and enjoy the coffee and all of that. And it's a lie that we're being told within Christianity. Jesus never said it would be easy, and he often calls us to do the harder thing in following him. And for this man, he tells him to go home. Go back to the place that you haven't really been in a while, because he wasn't living in a house, but he was out among the tombs. But he says, hey, go home. Go back where you're from. Go back where you live. And go tell what I have done for you. Go tell what God has done for you. As you think about it, this man could have said, well, that's a nice idea, but I don't have really a good reputation. I don't have a lot of credibility with the people back home. They don't like me. You know, they were more concerned about the pigs than they were about him. He could have said, no, I don't think I'm the right man for the job. He could have made excuses as to why he wasn't capable or equipped to do what Jesus told him to do. Sometimes I think we're the same way. You know, we say, well, we're willing to follow God anywhere he sends. God tells us to go, we're ready to go. And then you think about, like, God's prophet, Jonah. And Jonah, you know, he's God's man, he's God's messenger, and God says, I want you to go to a specific place. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh, and I want you to preach to them. And Jonah says, I'm getting on a boat and I'm going the other direction. He wanted to go anywhere but where God said. And that's God's prophet. That's God's messenger. And sometimes we're much like Jonah. Here, the example that we see from this man who had been possessed of the demons is a man that is given a task to go to a specific place, not a long way off, not over to another country, not overseas, but called to go home and to minister, to tell people what God had done for him. What is our attitude when God doesn't, you know, do what we think? When God changes the plan, when God, you know, gives us an assignment that's not the one that we had come up with ourselves. Do we run like Jonah, or are we willing to say, hey, because you are the one in control, because you're the one that's in charge, because you are God and we're not, we're going to follow you wherever you lead. Wherever you tell us to go, we're willing to go. Are we willing to follow Jesus the way he chooses, or do we only follow him when it's convenient to our own plans? Sometimes we want it to be convenient. You know, if it makes sense and it's easy, if we're talking to somebody, they were talking about sharing Jesus and telling people about Jesus, and how do you do that? And, well, if it's somebody that I like and it's easy to talk to, if it's somebody that it's convenient and it's not going to cause me to be late for what I want to get done, yeah, I might be able to talk to them about Jesus. Jesus wants us to tell everyone, not just when it's the way that we would like it, not just when it's convenient, but Jesus wants us to tell everyone what he has done in our lives. The instruction to this man was to go back and to tell the people back home what God had done. And so what did the man do? He proclaimed Jesus. The man that had been known for being possessed of demons was obedient to proclaim Jesus. And we often look at scripture and we look at, you know, people and the word of God, and you say, well, there's certain people that, you know, they're really good, you know, heroes for God. They had everything together. They, you know, they would make the right decision all the time. But God's word is very honest. Some of the ones that we would say, man, they were some of the closest to God, many times they made bad decisions. And here's a man that you look at his past and you say, man, he probably wouldn't even know where to start, but he does the right thing. Verse 39 tells us that he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. You say, man, this is a very simple message, Pastor. He said, you know, go home and tell everybody what God has done for you. And it says that he went and he told everybody what Jesus had done for him. Man, there's not a lot to understand that. No, it's a very simple message to grasp. It's another thing to apply, to think about the obedience of this man. With all of his baggage, with all that he, you know, brought to the table before he met Jesus, yet Jesus changed all that. Jesus cleansed all of that, and Jesus told him to go and to tell others. Jesus has given us the same command as well. Matthew 5, verse number 13, verses 13 and 14, there Jesus is talking about that we are to be the salt and the light of the world. I was talking Wednesday night with the youth group about that, and we were talking about what salt does. We were talking about the impact that light has on darkness, and we are that. We're the salt, we're the light in this world. Verse number 16 of Matthew 5 says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When we are obedient to do what Jesus said, when we're obedient to be the salt and light of the earth, to tell people about him, it's not to lift ourselves up or to get attention to ourselves, but if we're obedient to do that, it should cause people to see God as he is and to bring glory to the Father who is in heaven. We're to lift up Christ. We're to bring glory to God by being obedient to tell others. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, Jesus speaking, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people that were standing there listening as Jesus said that, those men, they went and they did just that. Most of them to their death because they did that. They were martyred for doing that very thing, but they didn't stop. They took the message of Christ to the known world. And you say, well, that was his disciples. That was his, you know, inner circle. That was the superheroes, if you will, that started the early church. No, they were normal people like us. Yeah, they were obedient to do what Jesus asked them to do. But so was this man who wasn't one of the disciples. He was just a man that had been possessed of demons. We're to proclaim what Jesus has done in our lives. Maybe, you know, sometimes we use excuses for why we're not the right person to do that. Maybe we make excuses for why we can't talk to people and we can't tell them about Jesus. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. And you think about the Romans Road. That's a very, you know, good tool to use to show the plan of salvation from Scripture. But even beyond that, just to tell people what God has done in our lives, a starting point to say, hey, I didn't have my life all together. Might not have been possessed by a legion of demons, but I was separated from God, and God saved me. And this is how it happened. And this is my relationship now because of him. We can tell people what God's done in our life if he's done something in our lives. This man had something to tell because he had met Jesus. If nothing had changed, there would have been nothing to tell. And the same in our lives as well. If God has made a change in your life, then you have something to tell others. And yes, we can show scripturally, you know, we can show from Scripture the theology of what's taking place, and we can show them, you know, the verses that will, by the Holy Spirit's conviction, bring them to repentance. But we have to make it personal. We have to tell them what God has done in our life, the change that he has made. This man was obedient to tell others about Jesus. So my question for us this morning is, what is stopping us? It says that he went throughout the whole city. What would happen to our community if we did like this man and went throughout the community, throughout Mooringsport, throughout this area, telling people what God has done in our lives? Do we take it seriously? This man did. The disciples did. Other examples in Scripture did. Obviously, somebody between, you know, the first century, you know, there with the early church and today, 2021, somewhere along the line, people took it seriously. And I can't tell you exactly how that progression traveled down, but it was taken seriously to get to today and for us to hear the Word of God and for us to come to faith in Christ. What does the future look like? If we don't take it seriously, if we don't tell the next generation, if we don't let others know what God has done for us, humanly speaking, what happens next? Now, I know God is in control, and God is going to do what God's going to do. He's got all kinds of ways that he can bring people to saving knowledge of himself. But he's chosen to use humans. He's chosen to use us. And we are to be obedient to do what he's told us to do. Like I said, maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I don't have anything to tell people about Jesus because I don't have that relationship with Jesus. Maybe that's the thing that God is, you know, making you aware of this morning. We want to take a moment of invitation and give you the opportunity to respond. Maybe you're not saved and you want to deal with that today. We'd be glad to talk to you. Maybe you say, hey, I've been saved for a long time, but I've just let others do that whole thing of telling people I'm not a talker. Well, maybe God's convicting you to, hey, tell that neighbor, tell that coworker, tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this example of a man that, you know, humanly speaking, we'd say he didn't have any qualifications. He didn't have any, you know, any experience that would be worthy of going and telling others about you. That's, you know, such a holy work. But Father, this man had a change that took place the day he met Christ, and he was obedient to go and tell everybody what Christ had done. I ask that you would convict our hearts, Father, that you would cause us to take the assignment that you've given us seriously, and that we wouldn't sit on the sidelines, but Father, that we would tell people what you've done in our lives so that we would see people come to glorify the Father which is in heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.